Number nine, 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 number nine.
Hey, this is Father Buskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, one of the oldest Christian traditions on earth. And we're packaging it up for you today, as we do every week, as we have done for the past 9 years. This is our 9th anniversary, and we're welcoming you to episode number 472. So get ready. Let's take the next step. Realize how significant that little repetition of number nine, like a mantra, was for us growing up here in the States, probably in the world, I would say. It's from the Beatles. So in that sense, yes, throughout the whole world, right? Number nine. That small little clip comes from 1968. 12-year-old guy. Intrigued by the Beatles, like most of the world, and certainly here in America. It was off of an album, it was called The Beatles, actually, plainly. It was a double album, phenomenal at that time. The Beatles had put together a double album, and it's more commonly known as the White Album, because it was white. There was nothing on it. Actually, the letters that said The Beatles were raised. And that was the only way that you could tell that it had a title, The Beatles. It was a double album. And there was this track called Revolution 9. And it started off with this guy,
Number nine,
an interview with Susie. She's coming up. She's just waiting very patiently. She's coming up, okay? I'm not putting it off. And I'm not trying to give you a snow job right now and say, oh, yeah, no. Susie's coming up, okay? Number nine. We have hit the nine-year mark for the next step. We didn't think we'd be here doing this, but we're doing it and having a lot of fun. So first of all, thank you. Thank you for allowing us into your homes, into your cars, into your earbuds, wherever you're listening to us. Thank you. Thank you for the confidence. Thank you for the love, the prayers, and your support. We made it. It's the 9th year. And in a few minutes, we're going to have an interview with our producer, Susie. Before that, let me talk about this little clip. Number nine, because it came to us, and it's important that this be recorded, okay? It came off of this album called The Beatles, Revolution 9. And we would play it. I think it was like 7, 8, maybe 9 minutes long. And you got to remember that back in the 60s, back when rock and roll was young and everything, we would listen to music on these 45s. 45 would be one song on one side, one song on the other side. About the size of a CD disc. It had a giant hole in the middle to accommodate the playback machine, record player. So these 45s would be the way that we would receive the songs. And rock and roll songs were about 3-4 minutes long. So occasionally we'd get the longer version. They would be on the LPs, for instance, like the most famous one, Light My Fire by the Doors. There was always the AM version, which was 3 or 4 minutes. It had all the improvisational stuff in the middle cut out. Or else you'd get the FM version, or what was on the LPs, a 6-7 minute long song. Let It Be. Or Hey Jude, excuse me. Hey Jude was exactly like that for the Beatles. It was a long song by those standards. And then there was Iron Butterfly, who had put out a song that took up the entire side of an LP. If I remember right, 16, 17, 18 minutes long, called Inagada da Vida. Yeah, wild, wild song. You'd listen to it for 18 minutes. One side of an album. And then it was like the likes of Jethro Tull came out in 1972 with a 45-minute song, which was two sides of the album. But before that, actually, there was a lot of blues musicians doing this. Notably, Canned Heat had come out with Refried Boogie, if I remember right. It was both sides of an album, so about 45 minutes. So the Beatles came out with this kind of a, it was revolutionary in the sense that music wasn't at that point. They had just come out with Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band the year before, and that was revolutionary in ideas about a freedom of expression through the genre of music, and especially the use of non-traditional rock and roll instruments. Interesting, right? Rock and roll was non-traditional to begin with, and then they were using non-traditional rock and roll, in other words, orchestral works incorporated in the rock and roll music. So Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club was really phenomenal in that sense, and it broke ground. Do you see why I'm saying this here? Right? You're saying, like, what is this man talking about? Think about it in terms of what we've been doing at the next step. What is the next step all about? It's really going beyond the conventions, going beyond the traditions. Huh? You see the connection? You got me there, right? And so when 1968, this album comes out, The Beatles, there's this song on there called Revolution 9. And it was just really The Beatles having fun with the musical noise. In other words, they were taking tracks and playing them at different speeds, at different levels, backwards, forwards. They used the word naked, which was unheard of, you know, and they got away with it. I think it was Yoko Ono who said that on the small little song. So it began with this thing,
number nine.
A few years later, they came out with this conspiracy theory. Now, there's so many arguments one way or the other. I personally think it was a way of selling more albums. It was maybe having a little bit of fun, but the idea was that Paul McCartney had died somewhere along the Beatles' career. Their popularity. He had died. So there was this massive conspiracy theory, and people were talking about it. They were selling records, and it was the whole idea of, like, pretending that Paul had died and getting people excited about a cover-up. And the Beatles were giving us small little hints along the way about Paul's death. For instance, inside the Sgt. Pepper's album, you open it up, and he's sitting there with the other band members, and he's got an armband, a black armband on him that says OPD on it, officially pronounced dead. To which he later came out and said, no, I wasn't dead. I was wearing the uniform of Ontario Police Department, OPD. Or on the cover of Abbey Road, there's a small little VW on the left side. Watch for it. Look at this. I'm doing this from memory, okay? There's a small little VW Beetle. And on it, there's a license plate. And it says 28IF. And the idea was that intentionally it had been parked there with that ID, or they had put that on there. He would have been 28 if he were alive. Or even more to the point, the entire cover. It's an iconic cover of Abbey Road. You look at it and the figures on there. There's John Lennon leading the group, dressed all in white to symbolize the preacher. Ringo Starr all in black to symbolize the Undertaker. Next in line, it was Paul McCartney who was shoeless. As dead people are placed into the casket, they are without shoes, right? And then following it up is George Harrison dressed as an undertaker, and so to symbolize the burial of Paul McCartney. So there's all kinds of these kind of clues. But one of them was this number nine. And the number nine, this little mantra-like saying of number nine, number nine, number nine, played backwards, had an interesting twist to it. Now, in the old times, the way to play this backwards, believe it or not, we used to put the needle on there, and you'd have to do something because you couldn't let the motor go forward. So you'd have to kind of like listen to the needle scratching the groove in a reverse direction, but you couldn't have it on because then it would go in a forward direction. Today, easy with technology, right? We take the little clip, we process it, and we run it backwards.
Number nine.
And now number nine in its backward form. Yeah. Turn me on, dead man. So in the midst of all this, you know, now remember, we're living in a world, this is like a few years after Kennedy was shot, after Bobby Kennedy was shot, after Martin Luther King was shot. You've got all kinds of conspiracy theories. You've got distrust. You've got the summer of 69 still coming and a revolution taking place. And you've got the Beatles putting out this piece of music called Revolution 9. And it plays into it. Now, I say all this. Why? Because it also plays into who we are and how we understand our beliefs and our faith systems. And so coming out of all of this, yes, I do have a lot of skepticism. And I saw a lot of things in my life that has conditioned me to put me in the place where I am. And I feel like I have a unique perspective on all of this because I am talking about the most ancient of all Christian traditions viewed through the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy today. And namely, somebody who has gone through all of this, westernized and with all the trappings, with all the hoopla, the conspiracies, with all the fun that we have, and being able to process this, synthesize this, and present that, that's what the next step is. And we're starting our 10th year today. 10 years of doing this. Can you believe that? Well, we start our 10th year. And by the way, next year, get ready. We should do something fun, right? I'm open to suggestions. Go ahead, send me some suggestions. But I did promise you for today an interview with Susie, our producer. So, let's go there right now. Well, you've been waiting, you've been patient, and finally the time has come. We're going to hear from Susie. She's in studio in a different capacity today. She's taken off the headphones and sitting across from me on the microphone. Wow, pretty impressive. Hi, Susie.
Well, hello, world.
You get to say that today. Yes, talking to the world. So glad that you're going to be speaking today. I know our listeners have always been intrigued by you as this person who makes the announcements, but I think I'm going to start off something very personal. Your name. We all know Susie Sunshine, and you are truly the sunshine, right? Your name, Shatar Evian, literally means a lot of sunshine.
A lot of sunshine.
And so how do you play in? Does that play into who you are, the character? You bring a lot of sunshine. You bring a lot of goodness, happiness, and I think it's kind of reflective of your name. How about if we start off personal, your name? Talk about that.
I don't know. Yes, it does, actually. Shatar Evian means a lot of sun. And I've actually never thought if that sort of played into how I am. Maybe, I don't know. It's just my personality. I'm just very happy and bubbly.
Well, I'm using this because it's your personality who gave life to this podcast. We started off today is actually 9 years to the date that we did our first podcast. And I was trying to remember how we started this off. And so I remember we did this podcast on an old Macintosh, which sounded horrible, right? Because I remember in episode number two, we went out and we bought a microphone. That was the first thing we did because episode one was so horrible. But I can't remember What was the magic? How did you get this out? What did you do?
Actually, so if we think back a little bit further before we started podcasting, I remember before the next step, you had actually gone to a conference out in the desert somewhere, and you had heard someone talk about this new thing called podcasting.
Right.
And so I just became intrigued, and it was sort of a challenge, and you know, we decided, why don't we look into this? How do we podcast? So maybe the librarian in me just started doing some research and figured out ways and tools that we needed to use to get out our first podcast. And actually, when I was thinking about it today, I think our first podcast was actually a podcast of one of your sermons before we started our weekly Next Step.
That's, you know what? I had completely forgotten. I had gone to that conference, and there was a guy named Father Roderick who was broadcasting from the Netherlands. It was a podcast, an obscure, something that I think he still does. In fact, you've got me excited now to go and look him up. But I did meet him at this conference from the Netherlands, and I came back and I told you about it, and yeah, that's right. You figured out the mechanics. So you think it was our sermons? One of the sermons was the first ones?
I think we had a lot of audio files up until that point. Uh-huh. And so it was, again, just my background as being a librarian, you know, went into research mode and try to figure out, you know, what is this thing? What is a podcast? And how does one create a podcast? And if I'm not mistaken, we actually started with your sermons first.
And you know what was interesting is the timing on that was, why was I recording sermons? Not because of podcasts. Sadly, it was the proof, because there were so many rumors about what I had said in church. Did he really say that? And then one guy had reported it to the bishop that I had said such and such thing. So I decided at that time, sometime early in the game, to start recording the sermons so that if there was ever a question, rather than I said, you said, you listen to it.
Yeah.
And then so you
refer back to the recording.
Yeah. So you grab the file and then you started publishing them. So now the other personal issue, you're a librarian. A lot of people think, because of the intensiveness of this work, that you work for me exclusively. So you moonlight at another job, right?
Yes, I do have a day job.
Tell us about that.
Well, I've actually changed positions about 3 times since the time we started doing the Next Step podcast. And so I'd kind of like to go back to the job I was doing when we initially started. I worked at a library as a librarian, and my primary responsibilities were managing electronic resources. And it was sort of kind of a new area that was developing in librarianship, and it tied in really well with what the things I was doing with podcasting. And so when all these new tools and technologies came about, it tied in really well with the things I was doing at work. So it was a challenge for me that I was really excited to take on.
And I think we need to mention this, because I think a lot of times when people hear the word librarian, it conjures up images in our head. Just much like when we talk about religious images that we have of Christmas. You know, they're brought to us by images from Hallmark and movies. Same way, Hollywood has done a number on librarians,
yeah,
and you're far from that image,
no,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's definitely the stereotypical librarian, and they think all we do is sit around and read books all day, and I wish that was the case, because I'm a total nerd and a huge bibliophile, and I would absolutely love to just read books all day. But, you know, what's happened in the world of librarianship is that so much of the resources that we provide access to are all in digital format. Mm-hmm. And so technology has changed the way that we do our jobs. And it hasn't just affected, you know, what I do in my day job, but you see this all across in other sectors, and, you know, even in the church and getting the word out. So
so it was just a natural. I think if I remember right, it was just a natural that you had to be in that position. I mean, you know, we always talk about that. Most of our ministry has been built on the grace of God, that we've prayed about it. And it sometimes just happens even beyond our belief. That we pray for one thing, but we get something completely different and it's much better. And so when we started off the podcast, there wasn't any plan except a prayer that we get this word out, right? And then all of a sudden enters Susie, the sunshine, and then she comes in and she's able to do this. And you're remarkable. I mean, I tell people, not just to your face, I mean, you could sit in front of a computer and rip out stuff like in 2 seconds, websites and podcasts. So it just was kind of a natural how it
fit
in.
I mean, when we go back, when I think about those days, I think I was still going, I was still in library school, and I even remember, you know, taking courses in XML and PHP and...
That's true, because we came to your graduation from library school, right?
That's right. Up in San Jose.
Yeah, wow.
We have so many.
That's my old hometown.
The tie-in.
Okay, so let's talk about those early days when we were podcasting. I mean, today people know what podcast is. And if I think back when we first started 9 years ago, iPhone had just come out. I mean, smartphones were not... Nobody talked about smartphones. There was the iPhones, and we had talked about a phone that was smartphone for a few years, but until the iPhone had just come out, and they came out with this thing that you can have your music with you, you can have your videos with you, and you can have podcasts. And then everybody else, the whole Google market, the Android market came along, and everybody was talking about it. But in those times, nobody knew what a podcast was.
We're very few people, and when we'd mention it, you know, people would just kind of look at us like, what is this? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Just like, a pre-recorded show you can listen to anytime, anywhere.
Yeah. And so, remember the first years the first year we would struggle. Do you remember how Ken would melt down the actual file, and then we would wait like 2-3 hours to publish it? Or what was that all about?
Well, and then on top of that too, just because, you know, people still weren't comfortable with podcasting technology in terms of consuming it. I remember the first few years we were still burning our files on CDs and
and
distributing those to the local community that way.
That's right.
People still preferred popping in CDs.
There was a guy, a young man, Steve Bedrosian. He had bought us this machine, a really cool machine. You'd pop
in. Oh, my goodness. Yes, I remember. Yes, we'd burn like 6 CDs at a time.
At a time, yes. We would make like, we would do like 100 CDs in an afternoon and distribute them when we'd put them out at the church. And people would gobble them up, you know. And those were good, yeah. But do you remember the first time the first year we would burn the file, and it would take like a good 2-3 hours.
Yeah.
We'd go for a walk, and
we would.
It would still be burning away.
We'd take evening walks while we waited for the MP3 files
to melt down. That's right, yeah. So it's come a long way. So technology itself
really has. I mean, even the methods of the tools that we were using, the software, the programs, you know, so much has changed in the last 10 years. And in the early years, we didn't have server space. And so I remember finding out how we could access the Internet Archive.
Yes.
So we were publishing all of those original podcasts. We needed storage space for the MP3 files. And so we would load them up to the Internet Archive. And one of the fantastic things now that I think about is, you know, the U.S. government pays for all those files,
hopefully
for eternity. And so for the first few years of the next step, long after we're gone, people will still find them and listen to them.
That's right. They're just up there. They're up on the web. Yeah, I forgot about that.
And we use another tool, it's another software program called Spin Express that I think was sort of like the middleman helping us load files over to Internet Archive. It's crazy. It's been years since we've used them. I had even forgotten about them.
And what's interesting is that it's almost like necessity mandated that we go that way. I mean, we didn't have any budget. We didn't have any money.
So we try to find all the free tools that
we
could.
Yeah, we found all kinds of free stuff, and it kind of worked out. That's what I mean. Like, you know, you just kind of leave it to God, and you know, just all of a sudden we've got this thing. I never thought, I don't know if you did. Did you ever think we'd be here like 9 years later saying that, wow, we did this for 9 years? Every week we've put this
out. I mean, when we initially started, we promised ourselves we were going to do this on a weekly basis. But in all honesty, I thought, you know, every single week, maybe we could stick to this schedule for a year, and it would be, you know, it would be a success if we could do something.
Yeah, 52 of them, yeah.
Exactly. Once a week for an entire year, never in my wildest imagination would I have thought of year nine. And actually now, anything's possible, you know, until the end of time. We hope to podcast as long as possible.
Well, you know, I would like to talk about maybe your ideas about where we go from here, because, you know, we always need to recreate and always look for the new adventures. But before we do that, let's talk about the service that we do have right now. So right now you publish these Next Step, the sermons, the videos. So basically you are the producer for Epostle. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the vision for Epostle. When we came up with this idea of like apostolic evangelism for an expanding universe. We got into universe. It was really, it started off as an electronic world, right? And then we went into expanding because it started with a knee and it kind of was, but beyond the Snickers and, you know, feeling good about it, I mean, there was a vision for it. There is a purpose that we wanted to see this message going out. Can you talk a little bit about, like, you know, what we're doing here? How important is this?
It's absolutely important. There are so many people, Armenians and non-Armenians, who are just disenfranchised, who are looking for truths, who are looking for meaning, they're looking for ways to connect. And basically, this is a way that we have no boundaries. We can reach every part of the world, and in fact, we've made friends on every continent. And it's just, that's one of the other side effects that we actually never imagined or thought about. You know, at least for me, when we started podcasting, I just imagined, you know, this was something that people around us in Southern California were going to be picking up, and maybe the United States.
Interestingly enough, the least amount of people that listen to us are from Southern California, right? Most of them are throughout the world. Isn't that wild?
It is. It is wild. I think, you know, sometimes people take things for granted and they're just, I don't know, they're spoiled when they have access to too much stuff. And the people who, you know, truly need or look for the Armenian church are finding it through our podcast.
You want to talk a little bit about your relationship with the church, because obviously what you're doing here, what you have done for 9 years, is completely a labor of love. You couldn't even put a price tag on what you've done over here. So it's obviously beyond price, it's beyond wages. By the way, just for our listeners, Susie's completely, totally, 100% volunteer. There's no money that goes to her. Except the thrill of having your name put on the website over there. But it's so commendable. So what is your draw with the Armenian Church? What is your pull to the Armenian Church? You have this love. I know you've been involved in youth groups that are beyond the Armenian Church, but you've come back to the church. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely love the Armenian Church. In my heart, I feel and know that it holds all of these treasures. And, you know, whatever gifts that God has given us, I'd like to be able to use mine to share that with others. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to say beyond, you know, truly just doing this purely out of love, love for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and, you know, the way he loves us and the things that he's taught us. And I believe that, you know, the Armenian church is that receptacle, like, that has, it holds these treasures that people need to tap into.
Right.
And I'm just being an instrument here.
I love it. I love it. You're talking up the the entire purpose of what we try to do. You have also been involved in other youth, and I think it's interesting. I always hear you talk about other Orthodox traditions. Like, for our listeners, Susie will come and call me one day and say, you got to listen to this podcast. It's an Orthodox priest, or it's this thing. How do you think we play in with the Orthodox community as Armenians?
Well, I mean, for us, it's just, it's another flavor. It's not a matter of, you know, different beliefs, because at the core of it, we, you know, the beliefs are the same, but it's Armenian, the Armenian church has a very unique flavor. And, you know, personally, me being an Armenian woman, growing up and having that sort of identity, it's something deep down that I relate to. So, I've gone to a lot of different Orthodox churches, and I appreciate and I love the sermons and everything, and the services, the liturgies are so beautiful. But at the end of the day, there's just something, it's hard to explain, that just touches your soul in a different way. And difficult to explain in words, those kinds of feelings. I don't know, maybe it's just something that my heart vibrates to. It's like it's a different energy in the Armenian church. Maybe it's the sharagans and the way that the liturgy is sung.
I want to come back to what you said a minute ago. You said, as a woman in the Armenian church, and I know that there are certain things that bother you. So let's keep that for the second portion of our show. Let's take a break right now. We play the song of the day. It's an appropriate time. Because, by the way, here in Los Angeles, it is just so hot today. And the air conditioning in our studio is, we had to turn it off so it wouldn't hum into the microphone. So it is hot. We're going to take a little break right now. And we'll be back in a couple moments, okay? We're talking with Susie Shatarevyan, the producer of The Next Step. How wild is that?
Do you want
Yerevani Akhchik, the name of that song by Arada Banjan, Element Band. Yeah, that is off of their U album. And we will have a link on today's show notes to check it out. And you could probably guess who requested that song. So we're going to get back to that interview in just a moment. But like we always do, we always feature a song every week. And today's was Yerevani Akhchik. Go to our show notes today. You'll find the links to everything we talk about. And definitely check out the link to the Element Band. They just got some great music. I've had a chance to hear them many times, to be at their concerts. I got to tell you, if you ever get a chance to hear them in person, really great. Especially Arada Banjan. He's got the talent, okay? You gotta hear these people. Anyway, do check out our show notes. Do check out the Element Band link. And do support them, okay? Because this is how musicians get their music tossed around here and there, by being featured on The Next Step, but also through your support. So do check it out. Let's get back to the interview.
Next Step.
Yes, no guessing there. That is Gor Mkhitaryan doing a small little interlude between the sections. What would an anniversary edition be without Gor Mkhitaryan? Very integral and important friend to this podcast and this ministry. Okay, we are back with Susie, the producer of The Next Step, doing something unusual after 9 years, beginning our 10th year. We're talking to our producer. She's taken off the headphones, listening. Today she's talking. And we're talking about this and that, about things that will interest us. So you, as the audience, get to listen in on some of the conversations that we have, maybe sometimes offline. But we played Yerevani Akhchik. You are a Yerevani Akhchik, aren't you?
I am a Yerevani Akhchik. I was born in Yerevan, in Kilikia.
No way.
Yes way.
Well, I say that, of course, I know, but it's like a lot of times I think people, they meet you, they would never think that you're from Armenia. That's a good and a bad, isn't it? There's good. It's good to be able to kind of keep the distance, but in another way it is also bad because it is such a real part of us, isn't it, where we come from. I know I struggle with that too, as being an American-born.
Well,
there's issues of identity.
Yes, I mean it encompasses so many things, and when I think of identity, it's so many different. You know, I like to think about all the different roles I play in my life, right? So, like, mm-hmm. at home, I am my mother's daughter, and at work, I am a colleague to a bunch of different people from different backgrounds. And, you know, with my childhood friends, I'm this little girl that, you know, we played Barbie dolls together. So for me, I find it actually pretty easy to sort of go in and out, depending on the setting I'm in and the groups that I'm with. I don't know how to articulate, but, you know, deep down, absolutely. I was born in Hayastan. I was almost nine when we left, you know, back then, a former Soviet Armenia.
You never lived in the independent Armenia.
Never lived in independent Soviet, Armenia. Wow. You know, learned a new language, learned a new culture. I don't know. It's kind of easy to sort of, you know, go in and out of depending on the role that I play, depending on the group that I'm with.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, that you talked a little bit about women, being a woman in the Armenian church. You also are a very strong character personality. You put together this podcast, which is traditionally the technology and what people do is traditionally thought of as some kind of male. And this is not something I imagine. People come up to me and they say, who does your website? Who does these things? And they're astonished to find out it's a woman, you know, because it's always, they talk about it in the masculine terms, you know. Does he do this? Does he do that? And I go, well, I've got a she. Her name is Susie. Does my website and everything. And then all of a sudden you get into the church where there is no she.
Yep, there is no she.
Does that bother you? Yeah. I'm bringing it up because, you know, I mean, you have, everybody knows that it's been such a important topic here on The Next Step.
Absolutely. I mean, it definitely bothers me that, you know, I go to church and I worship and I participate in this liturgy, and yet not personally, I've never had a desire to serve at the altar, but for girls that do, I feel like there is no opportunity for them to do so. And, you know, there's so many different things that people can do outside of the services, and women serve in all sorts of different capacities, but, you know, it's not enough. I feel like men and women equally should be able to partake and participate in both sides of the curtain.
Mm. I like that. Both sides of the curtain. And it conjures up images of the Armenian church straight down the middle. Like, we are divided on that curtain line, aren't we?
We are. The curtain closes, and, you know, there's all this mystical, sacred things that occur that I feel like because you're female, you're yeah, never privy yeah. to that.
It's, wow.
This mystery is always kept away from you, and, you know, someday I wish in my lifetime that things will change.
So, you know what, part of, I think, and I think this is the biggest accomplishment of The Next Step. We've tried to become those eyes, those ears on the other side of the curtain, haven't we? That's basically what we're doing, The Next Step. It's to, not to demystify, but to really give an explanation of what's going on. So that when you do come to church, you understand that, yeah, there is a curtain, and, you know, now I may not get a look on the other side, but I'm understanding something.
Yeah, have some kind of an access point to it.
I like that. The other side of the curtain. That's our next podcast, okay? Get ready. What day of the week can we pull that one? Anyway, let's talk a little bit about where we're going. Not only Next Step, where we're going as a church. I mean, we kick around ideas about programs. I know our next big event is going to be the Forgiveness Conference. When we think about, like, the past 9 years, look at all the things that we have really accomplished thanks to this community that we've built around. We went into The Next Step because we had outgrown our church in Glendale, and we said we needed to expand, and we figured we could do it through The Next Step. Next thing we know, we started making friends, like you said, throughout the world. We were podcasting. Susan, what did Susan say tonight? She said in Argentina they had done a famine. That's right. We were in Argentina. We podcast. We were in Armenia. We podcast. I mean, every single week we've come out with a podcast. This is wild. Beyond, like what I said, beyond our imagination. And people aren't seeing the smile that you got. I wish you could just laugh. It was a big accomplishment. Where do you see us going from here? What's the next step for The Next Step?
Well, before answering that question, I think I do want to interject and say that, you know, this community that we've built and all the things that we do, none of that would actually be possible without having a leader in place who guides us and gives us these opportunities to do these things. And even the work that I do, you know, if it wasn't for you, I would never, ever, I would never be able to share the talents that I have.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. But in every community, you have leadership that wants to take their community in different directions. And we certainly here on the Next Step talk about those kind of scenarios within the church that exist. And we've been critical, we've been complimentary, but in all things, it takes people to make those things happen, whether it's a leader or the people that are doing it. We have a set of circumstances that exist for the Next Step. We've been doing it now for 9 years with a considerable degree of success.
And with a sizable audience.
Okay, now, where do you see us going with that? Do we just stop? I mean, it'd be so easy to just say, you know, to continue writing this and say, we're doing this Next Step. Where do we go with this?
You know, quite honestly, I'm not sure that I've actually given much thought. Just as when we started podcasting, you know, we never imagined that we'd be going on 9 years. And as it stands, you know, I do it because it just feels like this is the right thing to do. So you just, you pray about it and you do it. I'm not sure that I have like a 5-year, 10-year plan of where we're going to go and what we're going to do.
But I like the answer, just like you said, you know, there is no plan to it. And I think that's been I think that's a bigger statement than you might imagine, because it's basically letting God run it. If I think about it, for me, the Next Step has just been the background of all the work that we're doing in this since we started the Next Step. Think of all the videos that we've published, whether it's In Step with Christ, the full series, Armenian Church Today, AC 101, each of these full series. And as we're doing all of these series, the Next Step is continuing. So it's really a remarkable amount of volume of material that we've thrown out there on the web.
It is, and I would also add that to me, the Next Step is, you know, we do so many other things in real life, you know, outside of the recordings, the day-to-day kind of activities, the outreach work and the people we meet and the different things that we do. And in some ways, the Next Step is also that vehicle where we could sort of document and maybe also talk about and, you know, meditate on certain things that have happened.
It's an audio blog. It's an audio diary, really.
It
you know,
is.
For all
it
the
is.
Things that we're doing. Yeah, absolutely. Because you can go to any point. We took a 3-week trip to Armenia, and we saw Ararat from both sides, and we documented it, right? And where does that documentation exist? It's on the web. It's forever, right?
Exactly, exactly. And even, you know, if you listen weekly, it's sort of also a modern day commentary on just things that happen. So a lot of times it's even hard to plan what the episode is going to be because you don't know, you know, a current event that's going to happen in the world. And so week to week, you know, these episodes also take us by surprise of how they develop and the things
exactly,
that happen.
I know that a new phenomena is this binge watching since Netflix became popular and what's that, a Hulu and all these. So you can actually go and you could binge watch. Amazon Prime, yeah, we've done that and you've done that. And I heard somebody, a good friend of mine, who discovered the Next Step and wanted to catch up. And he actually binged on the Next Step. And I'm thinking, wow, is that like an acid trip or something? You know, it's like, what is, you know, you did, to binge on the Next Step, can you imagine going day to day? It's very flattering. But at the same time, when you think about all the topics that we talk about, I mean, we run the gamut. We go from, you know, God is not Santa Claus to the Superman model of God. You know, it's like wild things, you know. So it has been a really enjoyable ride, and we're looking forward to the ride ahead, I guess, without the plan.
Exactly, and there's something in that unpredictability that is also rather exciting. So we'll leave things up to God and continue what we've been
doing.
Well,
I like that. I second the motion. And before we started tonight, we had a couple glasses to celebrate tonight, and you toasted to another, at least another 9 years, right?
Absolutely. So we'll God willing.
God willing. So, well, it was a pleasure having you on the other side of the microphone without the headset. Yeah, what about Ken?
You know, Ken's taken off to Fiji again. What is this?
I can't believe when I think, you know what's really funny is those early years, how mean you were, or you were to each other.
That's because he just smoked way too much.
To each other. I couldn't believe. Remember, we was behind that glass. There was that glass that was like film.
We had to keep him behind that glass.
The film.
From all that smoke. Jeez.
Yeah, yeah. He should be back, I think, in a couple weeks. But it is really fun when we all get together. We're in the same room and doing it. And certainly today, this was great to be able to celebrate. So we're starting our 10th year of podcasting. And we're looking forward to it. So thank you, Susie.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on.
All right.
Here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the 10th year of producing shows, which are heard around 6 continents. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Well, we are celebrating our 10th year, beginning our 10th year of broadcasting and podcasting. I want to thank you all for your support, for your kind words, and especially for your prayers. I'm going to tell you, in the coming weeks, we're going to have a lot of excitement for you. We've got the 777 event coming up at Catalina Island. I know we've got a large group going over there. If you happen to be in the Southern California area, do join us. That's on July 7th. Also, I had a wonderful wonderful conversation with Yvette Hovsepian-Bierce. She's in Germany. She's dealing with the refugees over there. I had a great conversation. Couldn't record it to the levels that I wanted to. I'm still working on it. So next week we'll have some bits and pieces of that and more of reflections on the refugee situation, what you can do. And I'm pleased to tell you that July 2018, we're going to be doing a huge conference in Armenia. So I want you to mark that on your calendar and be with us over there. Also, this past week, my travels took me to prison, took me to Women's Correctional Facility down here in Southern California. I want to talk to you a little bit about what's happening over there as far as issues of justice. It's not what you think it is. In fact, I met with a woman who is being punished for being the victim of domestic violence. Yeah, that's happening right here in America, okay? That's going to be coming up, okay? I need to process. There is so much that is going on, but we are working on the backgrounds. And so when you support this ministry, it's going to support all of this stuff, whether it's out there in the Chad, in the refugee camps, whether it's in the prisons with people who are lonely, destitute. That's part of your support, and we thank you for being a partner in this ministry. Also yesterday, I had a chance to meet with Gabriel and KDJ. Gabriel just returned from the refugee camps in Chad. We're going to be reporting about that, and also an opportunity for us to share some information with the public. You won't want to miss that. Finally, every Monday evening, we are having Vespers. And last week, we actually had the Divine Liturgy. Do check it out. There'll be a link on today's show notes. You won't want to miss some of the programming that's coming out of Epostle, because it's all new stuff. It is revolution. It is revolution in the truest sense. And we're going to be talking about how you can get involved in that revolution, be a part of history and be part of that revolution in the coming weeks as we move forward with the next step. But for today, we wanted to make it more festive. We wanted to talk about some of the maybe esoteric ideas of the number nine connections to the next step, talk about a little bit of the celebratory events, talking with Susie Shatarevyan, and of course, we conclude with all of the things that you can get involved in. Just check us out. We're at inissues.org, epostle.net, and of course, Facebook pages, Instagram pictures, and Twitter feeds. Follow us anywhere you can, okay? Well, that about does it for today's show. I want to thank you for joining us and look forward to greeting you again next week. We're starting our 10th year. I want to take this opportunity to thank all the people who've helped us out throughout the years. You remember Ani Bubbles? Yeah, big shout out to her and all that she's doing. We did think about bringing her on for a solo, but we said, no, let's make a special one with her. But, you know, along the way, we've had so many guests that have been on the next step. We want to thank all of them. People in the background who been supportive of their prayers with their time, especially my wife Susan, my family, whether it's Anush, my kids, like Anushan, who made this cool little melody over here. Thank you to all of them. God bless everyone for the support you've given us, and we look forward to continuing. We hope that we earn your confidence and your support. On behalf of the wonderful crew who put today's show together, Ken, our engineer, who is engineering in abstensia somehow. And at least this week, right? We're waiting for you back. And Susie, our producer. This is Father Voske, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off balance. Top limit.